Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
What happens Sunday is just so encouraging. We're so thankful for in the Gulf Coast and Pensacola, Florida, for Pastor Lynn Ballinger and Pastor Aaron James, who hosted a conversation, just kind of gave his whole night to a conversation that we've been praying for a long time, been trying to have. Every time I try to have the conversation, I lose friends. It's amazing. And the conversation is, what was the name of the event? Diversity?
Unity and Diversity, I believe.
Unity and Diversity in the church, because we're called to the nations. And it's not just like a nation. Called to a nation does not mean that we're, so many people want to go on missions because they want to travel. Some people go in the military. They don't want to defend the country. They want to go to different countries.
Yeah.
But we're called to the nations, and America's a melting pot of nations. That word comes from the word ethnos, ethnic groups, where races come from, the word race. And so we're called to tell everybody of every ethnicity about Jesus Christ. And when we come together as the body of Christ, we should look like that. We should look like the nations should be amongst us. And so, you know, in 2013, and we're going to have this, we're going to talk about this, probably this program and our next program, so make sure you catch it. But we're just celebrating it because there's so many things that happen. And what we'll be talking about this Sunday night in the Glory Zone, a conversation began thanks to Pastor Lynn Ballinger and Pastor Aaron James, who hosted a panel of five pastors, which are very important because two of these pastors that were on there were two of the ones the Lord spoke to me about when I was on a sabbatical and spending time with them. I called one of them when I was on the sabbatical and met with the other one after the other sabbatical in 2014. God is just. He is just. And justice is not really hard to bring about unless we resist it. Think about that. And justice means putting things back in its order, its right order. And no one cries for justice because people see justice as a wrong viewpoint of it. But it's just like putting things back in the right order again. And so if we resist that, then force comes our way, and disappointment and great loss, and sometimes loss of life comes because we resist getting back into its order again. So one important thing to find out, you know, what is the order for everything? What is that's the word of God. That's why you want to get in the word of God and find that out. But in 2013, I spent a year God just downloading, and just it's like a fire hydrant of revelation about America and America's history. And I always thought for myself, this is how we perceive things quite often, that if you don't have a problem, nobody has a problem. I mean, I don't have any issues, but I mean, let's just move on. That's naive, because everybody has different areas. Obviously I got some issues, but I'm not talking about, I'm talking about that particular area, right? And so of race. And that's just really naive, because the reality is it is whatever it is. And when we're attacked by strategies of darkness, it comes with our thought life, you know, the way that we think. And we wage war against the way we think by the word of God. We find out what God says, how we're supposed to think. And then we take the thoughts that we did have, and we take God's word and put it over those thoughts, and we take them captive, and we go, this is the way I'm supposed to think. I'm going to reject the thoughts that came with my life and maybe generations or whatever influenced someone, and I'm going to submit, because I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. And so we got to find, we can't just say, well, this is how my family always, God pulled it. We were born again. You know what I'm saying? We have a new family now.
Right.
And our family is beautiful, multicultural, multi-race, as many nations as we tell that get saved, that's what it will look like.
Yeah. I think oftentimes too, because we look at ourselves just based within the nation that we live or the culture or environment, but we don't see ourselves as we really are, global Christians with a citizenship that's not even here on this earth, but somewhere else in heaven, you know?
Mm. Right. And one thing we talked about on Dr. King's birthday, what is the article on the torch?
It's actually, it's entitled The 50th Year Anniversary of Dr. King's I Have a Dream. How much has changed?
That was mine.
Yeah.
Anyway, the
my ears are here.
How much has changed? Read that title again.
50th year anniversary of Dr. King's "I Have a Dream" mm-hmm. speech. How much has changed?
Yeah, and so that we were just looking at it. You know, how much has changed, and you can see this. We're not going to go over it again, but we have to ask ourselves. You know, how much has changed? Because as a church, as Christians, as the Bible being our guide, and we look at America, the American church, mm-hmm. you know, where are we in this? And what God says about all of our rights do come from God, and that we are supposed to love each other. We're defined by our love for each other. Anyway, so I spent 2013, you know, going through this whole journey of, I mean, I'll be honest with you, it was just so tragic that I didn't think the more you look at yourself and the more you look at men, our mistakes and our sin, mm-hmm. that it gets really overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, we can't really connect to the sinfulness of sin, the utter sinfulness of sin, unless you just look at it. And so there's you know, the sin of oppression and slavery and I mean, God, on one particular encounter, God showed me a vision, and this vision, I was like sitting there on this floor with these ledgers, because there used to be, for all these technical people, there used to be books. They keep ledgers and books, and they would just write it out. And there was ledgers for states, and the states, and states that proclaimed that they didn't have slavery, they had ledgers that they actually sold slaves to the states that had slavery. And America took over the cotton trade of the world because it was built on the backs of free labor, free oppressed labor, on the African American.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so all these things was coming my way, and I'm just like, you know, what do you do with this? And then you're running into, racism in the church, you know, you're hearing in all races, you know, talking about the other races, like, how are we going to win all races if we only want to be with our race?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, oh my goodness, it's just flying by. Yeah. And then, you know, so you're going through all this journey, and I talked about this. I'm not going to talk much about it, but I had a chance to see this movie called The Help. And you can make sure you can reference that on this mm-hmm. particular article, the VFN Torch. You'll see
on ClearPlay.
On ClearPlay, yes. But make sure we talk about that kind of stuff. We talk about watching on ClearPlay. I realized after about 2 weeks, the Lord just spoke to me and said, you know, I was that age group of that young girl who was a reporter, journalist, writer, which is the age group that it's the in between. And right now there's another in-between generation, but this in-between generation that you know, I didn't have issues. I was actually raised by, you know, African-American women and who, you know, mothered me and did these, you know, wonderful, just did, you know, mm-hmm. from the time of a child. And I grew up watching Florida, you know.
good times,
you know. I mean, it wasn't any, you know, and I couldn't even connect with JJ's younger brother, you know,
Michael,
because, you know, wasn't my journey.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, past generations and future generations, it was kind of like that gap.
Mm-hmm.
You got to begin to realize that's what's going on. And so my life was not segregated.
Mm.
You know, I didn't have a segregated life until I got saved. And then I got saved, you know, I joined church and I fellowship with different churches, and I noticed the churches are segregated. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, you got to see this powerful little video that kind of just So it's kind of like my story. And God, I really believe if we want God to move, I know for a fact we cannot reject the nations and expect God to bring the nations into the glory zone. It's time for us to begin to reach out and just connect. And unity is not unity around people like yourself. Unity is around all of us in the body of Christ coming together in the context of what God wants to do. We're talking about race and the church and the journey that that personally I had gone on. I began to speak. I'm leading into a leadership meeting that happened in January 2014. And just what God is making known. And quite often, this is what a lot of us say. We go, well, you know, I don't have any, that's not a problem with me. And then we disassociate ourselves from the answer or the solution.
Right.
Versus like, if it is a problem, if it is an issue, if it's a present sin in the church, we all have an obligation to help hear God about how to get out of this.
That's right.
And so when I'm coming through that, and of course this movie, The Help, that I talked about 2 weeks later, God just began me on this journey. And, you know, with it, by the time I got around to the leadership gathering where all the leaders kind of come together around the nation in January of 2014, you know, I almost didn't even talk about it because I was just so beat up by it. Everybody that I've talked to about it, I mean, even the end of 2013 ended with the John Wayne movie. I said, I'm going to just get my head. I'm going to watch an old John Wayne movie that was on whatever Turner Classics thing or something. And I'm like, this is John Wayne. But it's John Wayne. So I'm watching this movie with John Wayne. And in the movie, 2013, the movie that I watched for a distraction, that John Wayne had to come and rescue his cook, which was African-American, because 4 or 5 cowboys were throwing a rope around him and they were fixing to hang him.
Wow.
They were going to lynch the African-American because he was African. I'm like, dear God, I remember calling Barbara up. I'm like, I can't get away from this issue.
Wow.
And so I'm coming into January just beat up by this whole experience while the church is talking about, let's sing a song, let's do this, let's do that. And it's like, you know, I felt like, why can't we all just get along? It's like, and people say, well, we are, but what it is they're getting along in cliques with the whole body. And so we have the gathering in 2014 and the leaders come together. So we begin this journey, the whole journey I talked about. I'll just tell you, you know, a pastor literally brings his podium to me. We'll make it a related link. He repents for what he knows has been said behind the podiums. God has shown me about that. You can go to a related link. And he just brought that to me in repentance. And I said, well, if you bring that to me for what you're talking about, this is what we're going to do with it. And we just disposed of it. And he said, he's cool with that. Matter of fact, God showed up. The presence of heaven showed up when we were talking about it, this pastor and I. And he's saying, anyway, the details were on that. And so the night we disposed of it, when these leaders came together, we disposed of it. Because, see, the reason why the church is in the condition it is what's being preached, what's being taught behind the podium, what's being spoken out. You know, we are what's being spoken to us. And we got to begin to speak the word of God again. And the word of God is far-fetched from racist. But the word of God, God created us all. We're all created in the image and the likeness of God. So, you know, amongst all the other kind of issues. And so the night that we disposed of this thing, because we just did it before God, you know, just humility to say, God, you know, just as a symbolic thing of repenting for anything that we said that caused any problems. And we just want to stand on behalf of any other pastors that have said things they shouldn't say. And we just want to repent, right? That's what happened.
Yeah.
And the night we did this, suddenly, it was a powerful night. Suddenly, as we were looking in the heavens and watching, you know, ramifications for what we were just getting, whatever. And a message comes in from Fox News. And what was the message, John?
Hand of God in the stars. Hand of God.
So the moment that we are dealing with, put that up that you can see, the moment we were dealing with and repenting on behalf of what's being taught behind the the pulpits. I'll just be frank with you. You know, God laid on our heart, and I told the pastor this, and we got a prophetic word at our television studios from a prophet that said, yeah, God is so angry with what's being said behind the pulpits in certain areas that he took the pulpit on top of a pyramid-like thing and just shoved it in the ground. And so God was angry with what we're saying. We got to say the right thing, right? And so so we're like, dear God, let us repent. And we just burnt it, you know? Yeah. We just burnt it, sure. You know what I'm saying? We just burnt the thing. And we always do that anyway when we come together, kind of like have a campfire scene. It's like, hey, why not just do that?
We need more wood.
Yeah, and it was a vicious fire, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Like, oh, my God.
But the embers were going into the heavens, and it was amazing how God began to speak through that, saying, you know, what you say from your pulpit sets fires in people's hearts. It sets fires in communities. It sets fires. Think about it. Are you setting godly fires? Are you setting worldly fires? You know, that was the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, strange
and,
fire.
And it's just our strange fire. And as these embers were going into the heavens, all of a sudden, as you're looking right now, you can see right now on your screen, this appeared in the heavenlies, and it was documented by Fox News. And the hand of God appears. It was on January the 9th, 2014. And all they could do is describe it. It was just the hand of God. Mm-hmm. It was just an amazing thing.
Wow.
And yeah, you can pull that thing down. But the... This is when I'm downloading, you know, what God had given to me about this. And one of the things also that, as I began to share, there was this whole 2020 thing with the barbershop.
Oh yes, 2020.
In New York, and what they did was, they videoed this whole scene, and they had two actors come into a barbershop. And they were having, you know, a mixed race couple, and they just watched people's reaction.
In Harlem.
It was in Harlem. And they were showing how, you know, how the spirit of racism. So you had a lot of, you know, African-Americans, some African-Americans were attacking another African-American who had a Caucasian girlfriend or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they were actors. The couple was actors. But so much was revealed. But the biggest thing that was revealed, and we'll make a link so you can just watch this. It's probably the most watched 2020 segment that there has been, but we'll make sure our link's available for you. But the most compassionate person in this barbershop was an African-American lady who openly says that she was a lesbian, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she went with tears, and she hugged the one person, and she looked at the person who was being so violent or vicious. And she says, that's not how you do that.
Mm.
This is not how you do that. And she was so loving and so kind. And you're just like, man, she's just so kind and so loving. And the thing about it, wouldn't that be cool if the church was that loving and kind?
Mm.
That if when people are spewing out all of this anger and all this, that we could calm a fits of rage by that love and compassion. Because she had compassion, you know, and it was just powerful. It was just a very powerful scene. It's the most watched scene, I believe, reportedly on 2020, because you get to see how people react to the real deal when they're in their safe. They feel like they're in an environment they can say what they want to, and then you see people stand up and defend, you know, that situation. But that's the world's viewpoint of it. But as the church, we should look like that. We should be. Every nation should be amongst us. And so I began to talk about these different things, and then the Lord had on my heart to begin to show things about our history in America. I mean, there is terrible history in America. And we just finished up going through The Torch and the Sword. And if you haven't read The Torch and the Sword by Rick Joyner, you need to read that book. As a matter of fact, it may go up right now on the screen if you can see it. But you got to get it and read it, because this is who we are as believers. This is what we're called to do. But there was this young girl in Louisiana that... John, you're giving me her name when we're talking here. And she was just going to school. But people in this community, in the name of the church, were preaching from pulpits that the races shouldn't mix.
Mm-hmm.
And that these people of color should not go into the school.
Ruby Bridges.
Yeah, Ruby Bridges. And Ruby Bridges is the one, maybe you can see right now, her and the president are standing up in front of this painting. And you're thinking, why was the president with her and what's that painting? That's her as a little girl when she was going to school. And they were screaming and yelling things at her. And just, it was just the devil had a hold of these people. And they were attacking this young girl with just terrible things and attacks. And this happened, this is America. And she was just going to school. And so we're going through all this. The Torch and the Sword talks about a 12-year-old girl and how God's going to use her, but we got to be able to help her, empower her. Mm-hmm. But she walked into the face of danger. Then you look at Ruby Bridges, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go, man, she did the same thing at 5 years old. She did that. And what was manifesting was, you know, Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and evil spirits. And so what you're saying is what had a hold of those particular people that were coming against African Americans just trying to go to school, and mm-hmm. especially this young girl, that's the devil. Those are demons talking out of those people.
Yeah.
That's what that is. I mean, you got to just nail it. That's what that is. And when you hear, like Peter just said to Jesus, this is what he said. He said, Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus turns to Peter and says, Satan, get behind me. You got in your mind the things of man, not the things of God. Well, he wasn't calling Peter Satan, but he knew that demonic activity got a hold of Peter.
That's right.
And was using Peter to say something against him to stop him from doing what the Father planned for. He almost tempted me not to do the Father's will is what he said.
Mm.
And so when you start seeing a big mob or people saying stuff like that, understand behind that, if you could see the spiritual aspect of what's going on, there's a lot of people held captive to do his will. And that's what was going on.
When you get to call it like it is, I mean, it's exactly what it was. People try to say it's something else. No, it's evil and it's wrong.
Yeah, it's evil and it's wrong. And especially when it's integrated into the context of, and this is obviously definitely not all of America, but this was what you see on the videos, what you see that's happening, and it was prevalent, was then the manifestation of some of those people that were held captive was they took the emblem, think about this, the emblem of God meeting men, paying for men's sin on the cross itself, and they put it in front of the yard or the place where somebody who's made in the image of likeness of God lives, and they burn the cross. They burn what represents God meeting man in the yard of a person who's made in the image and likeness of God. We got some issues. We got to talk about this. And it's not a rehashing thing. It's like we got to get past this as the church, not the nation. The nation is going to do what's going to do. But with the church begins to move right, the nation will be blessed. As you can see right here, this Sunday night, the conversation began, and we're going to talk more how this built up for mm-hmm. us. But this panel you're looking at right now, you had, and the title of this whole conversation began,
Unity and Diversity.
And the church that we're supposed to be a multiracial church, that's what we're supposed to look like, mm-hmm. and because we're supposed to go to all the nations. And on that, we had Pastor Josh Walnorf.
Joshua Walnoffer.
Walnoffer, and these are different pastors, Aaron James, Lynn Ballinger, Dan Livingston, and Greg Burns. And what's interesting, join the next program, because we're going to be talking about this, but also how, and if anybody's going to have this conversation, you know, Lynn Ballinger would be the one
definitely
to have it, and definitely host it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not, if you're in the Pensacola area and you're looking for a church to be a part of, that you want this to be in your heart, I think Jubilee Christian Center.
International, yes.
International Christian Center. You'll be blessed there. Also, they have a school.
Yes, they do. JCA.
And, yes. And the associate was there also on this panel, Pastor Aaron Jones.
James.
And, but two of these particular panelists that were there, I'm going to be talking about the next program about how when I was in time of prayer and sabbatical, the Lord spoke to me about them. So when this conversation comes up, because when we began to meet in that leadership gathering that I was talking about in 2000, in January mm-hmm. this year, that, you know, we did what we did, the hand of God appears, we go through The Ruby Bridges story, people are seeing for the first time because we have young ministers that have didn't even know about that history. Sure. We actually had a mother and a daughter, both are ministers from two different states, were together in that leadership, and the daughter began to understand the mother who was older, that mm-hmm. that her mother, you know, because of experiencing racism, you know, became a racist herself. And she's African American, but when you see what happens, you can understand why. If you don't love me, you say God doesn't love me, then I don't love you. That's right. It's kind of about how it works.
And nor did she want to serve God in the way he was being presented.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, with that, the daughter and the mother began to have empathy for each other. And we titled this gathering, you know, prophetic gathering was entitled, you know, empathy. You know, we serve a high priest. His name is Jesus, who was tempted in every way, just like us, yet without sin, who is able to empathize with us so that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness to receive mercy and grace in our time of need. And so the key to intercession and being there for others is to have empathy. So if we don't understand your story, I can't empathize with you. If I don't know the history, I can't talk intelligently about the future. If we're talking about, hey, we want to be able to quote, save America, and it's like, do you even know America? Do you know her history? Do you know? Imagine this, and I've talked about this before. Imagine if everything in America so far is pre-Christian, and what's really going to happen in the future, we're going to have an authentic Christian nation. I mean, where we're going to all get together and say, you know what? It's Jesus, you know? Mm-hmm. It's Jesus, you know what I'm saying? And just the whole thing begins. Just imagine the fullness of that. And so it was about empathizing. And so God, the presence of God, the presence of heaven showed up in our leadership gathering in such a powerful way. And it was, remember how powerful it was? Yeah, the awesome. Love of God and the empathy and the understanding. And, you know, all races were pretty much there, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was just beautiful. And what happens when God's glory shows up, when his presence shows up, I mean, just your hearts melt. And it's just so easy to just move in what he wants. And that's the glory we're talking about, the glory zone. But part of that is we got to be able to get rid of wrong mindsets. We got to be able to repent and just say, I don't know what I was thinking. You know, and quite often, you know, people are bothered by what they don't know, But today's way culture works, nobody knows anybody. They say that I got 1,000 mm-hmm. friends. It's like, what do you mean? My Facebook is like, you don't know those people. You don't know mm-hmm. them. But spending time with people and, you know, guess who's coming for dinner? We actually wanted to
start that.
We wanted to have billboards everywhere and say, guess who's coming to dinner, and start having the church invite each other for dinner. You'll be surprised how many people of all races, you know, struggle with, well, I'm not going to eat at this person's house. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do this or do that. All races, you know, I've seen it all. And it's like, but we sit down and we dine with each other and we eat with each other, and you start finding out, you just get to know each other. And it's like, if you don't eat my food and eat on my plates, then you don't really love me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And if I do clean, I'm going to wash them up. Yeah, but you know, that's just, this, the whole thing is, you know, and if you truly don't have issues with this, then it doesn't matter who's leading. And it doesn't matter who's driving the car. It just doesn't matter. We're talking about the church now. We got so much to talk about, because this particular meeting that took place, that you saw briefly up there, that took place Sunday, is an answer to prayer. And it's the beginning, I think, a seabed of what God's going to do. God has heard the cries of our heart. And this has to be dealt with and repented for, so that the release of what's going to happen in mm-hmm. this particular area. And Escambia County, in the area that meeting was taking place, at the same time we were having that leadership meeting, it was being taught in one of the oldest cities of America that Escambia County was the most racist, had the most racist history, and some other things. We'll have that available to you on the VFN Torch. We can repent of this. We're all the same. We're creating the image and the likeness of God. Dear Lord, hear our cry. Forgive us for our sin. Bring true unity, just like Azusa Street, because that was true unity.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.